is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your kratom-fueled locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Kelvin to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, James and Jeremy? Can you feel it?
Well, I can feel it. My brain doesn't start melting. I'll still be able to feel it. Yeah, geez.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org. So welcome back to Freedom Fiends. This is Lou. I'm joined by Big James and Jeremy, Murder Dog. Do you have a wrestling name yet, James?
Not really. I got a Wu-Tang Clan name.
That's close. Not quite.
What's your Juggalo name?
What's your chuckle?
Oh, don't have one of those. Definitely don't ever have one of those.
What's your government name?
I wish I didn't have one of those, too.
So, but anyway, yeah, welcome back to the Fiends. So, important announcement tonight. This is going to be like breaking news, worldwide exclusive. Nobody else has covered this yet that I know of. James, you and I were recently on a conference call. Well, actually, just a Google Hangout with a couple other people. But anyway, there's a major announcement, and it is that the fourth annual? Yes. Is this the fourth annual?
Fourth annual, yeah. Yep.
The fourth annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held in June of 2017. So, if you have nothing to do in the final week of June, get on out to Circle Pine Center and enjoy the fourth annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
Yes, it's one of the best fests you can go to at that point in time.
Is there even another festival going on at that time?
Well, it's the best. I know that.
Yeah. Now, so anyway,
did they extend? I know you guys said they were talking about possibly making it longer this year. Did they decide to extend it this year?
Yes. Oh. It will be starting this year on the 22nd, a Thursday. So Thursday, June 22nd, and that will be the first day of it. Before it was starting on Friday, but now it's going to start on Thursday, and Sunday will be a full day just like it always is, and then Monday the 26th will be the morning of breakdown and breakfast and going down to the lake for a little bit. One last swim. So
yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. Going down to the lake after the fest to go have a swim before we pull out.
Yeah. Yeah, because usually when I'm breaking stuff down on Monday morning and cooking breakfast, I get all hot, sweaty, sticky, nasty, and have like bacon grease coating me, which isn't all that bad in my book. But yeah, I need to clean that stuff off. So we go down to the lake, and it's a bunch of hippies bathing and washing and swimming and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah.
See, so, I missed out on all that part because I had to hit the road as early as possible because I had a long ride ahead of me back home.
Yeah, your ride was just maybe a little bit longer than mine, and I stayed in Michigan the entire time.
Hmm. Yeah. That's even crazier. But you know.
Yeah.
You're way on the other side of Michigan.
Yeah,
well, but then you have to go around part of it. Around and back down.
I have to go to the other side and then double back to the other side to get back to where I am.
See, you know, so, what you need yourself, Lou, is one of those like submergible vehicles that can like just get you across the water. You could just shoot straight across and cut a couple of hours out of your journey. You know.
Plus, that would be really cool for picking up chicks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially if there's a chick stranded out in the middle of Lake Michigan or something like that.
Exactly.
Oh, heck yeah.
You'd be able to pick them up, no problem.
I would be irresistible as some girls floating on some broken piece of wood that came off of a sailboat or something like that. Oh, yeah. How could she refuse? Exactly. How could she resist my charms? Now, actually, there's a ferry that goes from, somewhere in Wisconsin. I think it's Manitowoc, maybe. And it goes from there to Ludington. But it would probably actually take more time to do the ferry than to drive around.
Well, yeah, you got to wait for it to load up and do all and that stuff, and it departs at a set time.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't move very fast.
Well, that's the big thing, is that it doesn't move very fast. Yeah. So just covering the lake would probably be a few hours, I think. I'm not sure exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You need your own personal vehicle for the situation.
Well, yeah. And hopefully it would go fast enough to get across the lake, but yeah. Still like have radar or something like that to see women floating on the remainders of sailboat vessels that crashed. But anyway. So, well, Jeremy,
that's exciting.
It is.
That they've extended it and they've moved it, and yeah, I'll be there. I plan on being there. I hope to be there.
Yeah, well, one of the problems in the past has been that being in late August, people traveling from farther away, like out in your area, as an example, Jeremy, people traveling from those distances weren't able to go if they had kids that were in the government indoctrination gulags. So this really...
I don't know. My kids luckily aren't, but even here, that we wouldn't have had that issue because I, for all the horrible stuff New York does, they still don't start school until after Labor Day.
One of the few, huh?
I haven't dealt with the school systems in quite a while, obviously, because I've been out of them for decades now, and my kids have never been in them, thankfully. But I guess just knowing, from my mom was a teacher, so trying to remember that stuff. Yeah, it's as far as I know, they still start after Labor Day.
Well, they used to pretty much everywhere, I think. And they keep slowly moving it where you start a little bit earlier and you end a little bit later.
They just push it later. They push it to the end of now it's like the end, the very end of June, I think, is the last finals or whatever it is. So yeah, I think that's just the way they've done it, So they
just push it late.
They've managed to keep it the same start time overall. Plus, there's not that usual. I mean, we get hit with snow. There's a couple of years that we get slammed, but on the whole, they don't use that many snow days because they're not very. They do a lot of. They like to annoy the parents by doing a lot of those delays, which just totally screws up your day if you're a household who has two people that are trying to get out to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and you're counting on the fact that your kids are getting on a bus at 7:30 or something like that, and then all of a sudden they're stuck home until 10. It's like, what do I do? Oh my god.
I think most of the school districts here in Michigan have factored in that there's going to be at least 3 snow days each year, so mm-hmm. they don't have to make up anything if they only have 3. So
yeah, they have. I mean, I remember when I went to school in Pennsylvania, it was the same thing, and they had, because we were in the mountains and we got a certain amount of snow every year, I think they prepared for at least 5 to 7, I think, because it was pretty, we would get hit pretty hard up there. But as long as we stayed, yeah, I think it was five, as long as we stayed under, 5 or under, then we didn't get any extra days tacked on.
But did you get
always the worst. Yeah, that was always the worst. Like, then you end up tacking, you got that day off in the winter, but when you're in elementary school or something, you don't remember that come summertime, and then they tell you got to hang out one more extra day in school when you, were counting down the days till summer the entire, since, you came back from winter, from Christmas break, you've been counting the days down, and all of a sudden they're like, nope, wait a minute, you've got one more day. It's like, no!
That would be the worst.
In March and April, you're planning out every day of summer vacation. I'm not gonna waste a single minute. And then the first day of summer break gets there, and you go out and you run wild, and then the next day you sleep and you're like, meh, I got 3 months left.
Yeah,
it is pretty much how it worked.
Yep. So anyway, Liberty Fest, the 4th annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, will be. Is this only the? For some, why do I want to say this? That this is supposed to be the fifth one.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Sure, I thought I went to the fourth, which was my first, which was this year.
Was this the fourth this year? It might be the fifth coming up.
Hold on, wait a minute. I got to see what shirt I'm wearing. I'm not wearing that shirt. Never mind. Does it say it on that one? The orange shirt. The shirts we got.
I'm gonna go to my closet during the break and find out. My God, because I can swear there's been like three times at Circle Pines, plus the first one was out in Brighton.
Yeah, let's see. Were we there? I think you might. No, we could. You might actually be right. Let's see. I wish I could. We're doing we don't know advertising here, do we?
Yeah.
Great advertising, guys. I'm not responsible for this. I just want to say that these two guys are involved. I'm not
interested. You know what? Yeah, this is the fifth. This is the fifth.
Yeah. Hashtag fake news. Yep. Okay, so it's like the Onion. The announcement was satire. The true news is the real story, not the Illuminati-controlled story. The real story is the fifth annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held this summer at the Circle Pine Center from Thursday, June 22nd through Monday, June 26th.
Yeah, the fourth annual was already held.
Yeah.
I need to go write that down during the next break.
Yeah. Well, that's just off-season syndicated reruns, the fourth one. So the fifth annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. If you don't have anything else to do at the end of June, because I know there's a shortage of Liberty festivals out there. Well, actually, I don't think there are any other Liberty festivals. There's some and there's something kind of similar. There's like an imitator out there.
It's Liberty adjacent.
Liberty-ish. So,
Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest is the most liberty-oriented fest around that time of year.
Yes, pure uncut liberty, not tainted and cut with any other nonsense. And when we come back, James, what's his face, Jeremy, and I we'll try and pull our heads out of our hindsights and explain to you why you need to come to Liberty Fest this coming year.
Worms.
The fifth one, even.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
That'd be a perfect out of context theme for Travis.
Perfect, yeah. So, well, who knows? We'll find out tomorrow when we check our Twitter feeds or sometime over the weekend, because he's kind of like slow on that stuff.
Well, it depends. Sometimes he gets to listen the very next morning. Other times he gets to listen later the next night or the day after that. So it depends on his schedule. But he's good. He picks out a lot of good stuff. He does good work. Thank you for your service, Travis.
Thank you.
That and your memeage. Yeah. It's wonderful.
And I need more of my quotes for the Out of Context Fiends. I always thought that was Michael that did that.
Oh. See, I only know because, I mean, I'm not a huge user of Twitter. I mean, I have an account. I tweet things every once in a while. I don't really engage that often unless it's like somebody like, you know, Michael or one of the other fiends or one of my close friends that's actually tweeting to me. Otherwise, I don't really care. But I did, you know, I do pick up on people's, you know, actual handles and stuff. And I recognized it as when he first started it as the person who used to do Cantwell, who had Cantwell Goo.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I know that name. Oh, that's Travis. So, yes. But yeah, he does great work.
What is the handle then?
I think it still is at Cantwell Goo. I thought it was, or
is it?
It's out of context fiends.
Yeah, well, that's yeah, but it's out of context fiends at, I think, however Twitter works, like the at and the name after that is your actual handle, isn't it?
Yeah, you had to put the otherwise it makes it almost impossible to find you on there if you don't have the at.
Yeah, because there could be millions of people with the same mm-hmm. first part of it.
Yeah.
Like the address part of it, and that I don't know. I don't know how it works. I'm horrible with these things. Who cares? Moving on.
So anyway, James, you are a veteran of all four of the previous Liberty Fests, and soon be a veteran of the fifth.
Yeah, I have. So haven't missed one yet.
Tell our listeners about your experiences and why they want to go to the fifth annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
Because it's awesome. And I mean, do I really need to say more than that? Yeah, probably. So I'm gonna. Yeah, it's a great time. There's tons of people there. It's the most liberty oriented fest around this time of year. So you know, we have more spontaneous order, less controlled and central planned. It's kind of, we don't centrally plan your liberty at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. We only planning goes into trying to figure out how everything works together without, you know, centrally planning, hey, you're going to do this at this point in time, and then this at this point in time, and then this and this point in time, and this and this point in time. So we don't have that kind of stuff.
There's a lot of spontaneous order on the schedule.
Yeah. The schedule's more spontaneous. We you know, if you want to speak, let us know. You know, if you want to come, that's another thing. If you got something to say, let us know and come and give a talk. We're not going to tell you can't give a talk unless there's like it's impossible because everyone already is. So before you know, sign up now. You know, come let us know now that you want to give a talk.
Well, yeah, that's not so much a schedule.
We got a lot of.
I said it's not so much a schedule, but more like a guideline.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you have the spontaneous order area, which I don't know if we'll have a tent this year, but you know, you'll be able to just give a talk whenever. You know, if you want to come and play games, we get games coming, all kinds of stuff. A lot of great counter economic activity. It's just basically the best time you can have. It's just a blast. I haven't missed one. And what was great was the first one though was really close to my house. I didn't even camp at the first one. I just went there every single day. But the camping is a blast. It's a great location. That's the one thing that's really nice about this is like in the middle of the woods, out in the middle of, you know, nowhere Michigan, and the location is just absolutely beautiful. If you look, you know, and if you like the woods, this is a place you want to be at because, I mean, it's just beautiful. They have awesome trails that you can go on, just a walk. They got all kinds, it's just beautiful. I mean, you can look at some of the pictures that are, you know, on the Midwest, the Peace and Liberty Coalition Facebook and that, and see, I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful scenery. The trees are gorgeous. It's a really well-maintained area as far as looks-wise.
Yeah, so. And one of the things I like out there is the lake, and they have canoes that are available at no cost. I don't know if they provide kayaks, but I know that they have canoes. There's a little raft out there, about maybe 100, 150 feet out, something like that. And the water is nice and warm and crystal clear. We'll be back after this trip to the market. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Quickly.
Before the music stops.
Freedom Fiends. So, anyway, you don't have to read all that stuff just yet, Jeremy. Back to Discovery. Talking about the fifth News annual First Midwest Day Beer Celebrity Fest. Yeah. I can't talk right. But anyway, so you went to your first Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and you also went to the festival that shall not be named earlier in the year that is held the same time as the really good Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. So that second
festival. Yeah, coincidentally, it just happens to be held at the same time this year. So, you know, these things, you know.
So anyway, for me. And it's no conflict for me because the other one doesn't start till Wednesday, and that means that we would only do one radio show, which means that we probably won't get free tickets for doing just one radio show, and there's no reason to drive 1,000 miles to do one radio show. But anyway, so you went to your first Midwest Peace Liberty Fest, and is that your first Liberty Festival ever?
Well, Pork Fest, the one that should not be named, sorry. I'm all right tonight. The other one technically was, well, technically Liberty Fest New York City was my first one, but that doesn't count. That's how pathetic the Liberty Fest here in New York are. you don't even get a weekend, I think they finally bumped it up too, but for the longest time, you get a day in a bar. In Brooklyn.
I've seen videos from those.
Yeah. I went to one of those. I just remembered that I did go to a Liberty Fest NYC one year.
That's funny. Yeah, I went to like two or three of them I think in a row a couple of years back. And with that, actually, I think they were doing two a year for a little while. So I think one year I went to two of them the same year, and then I went again the next year. I mean, for me, it was cool because that was like the very first time I actually got to meet people. But the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest was such a better venue for me just over all the things I had been to because I like camping. So camping's always a plus for me, like getting to be outside and in the woods, which other festivals I've been to were in the woods, but they were a lot more wide open, so it didn't feel as woodsy. You know, this felt more woodsy to me, so it was nice. And there was a bunch of people there, but it wasn't super crowded to the point where I was like feeling claustrophobic and wanted to get like just wanted to be away from everybody constantly. Like I actually enjoyed being around people because there wasn't like a throbbing crowd of people where it was just like, you know,
it's a more intimate environment.
Yeah,
you get a chance to actually talk to all these people. If you don't talk to somebody or if you're not able to talk to somebody, you probably didn't try very hard.
Yeah.
Or everybody's just so darn busy that they don't have time to talk to each other. But anyway,
yeah,
or they just don't remember talking to.
Or you sleep through like two of the a couple of the biggest events of the entire you know weekend, like I did.
Yeah.
So you know it happens. But so, no, much more. I just was much more intimate setting, and it was also great for me because I got to bring Murder Dog. And at the other venues I've been to, it would not have been as conducive to bring her because it was
right.
because there was, you know, with people like a smaller number of people and people, a lot more people I could trust who were just like, Hey, can you keep an eye on her for a minute? And she's fine. It's great. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, dog's welcome.
Yeah.
Now you have Bip Tots, you have Murder Twins. So, yes. As a dad, how would you feel? How old are the Bip Tots?
They are 5 now.
Okay, and how would you feel bringing them to Liberty Fest?
Well, I was prepared to bring originally both of them, and then at the very least one of them this year, sight unseen. And it just didn't work out, unfortunately, because she got sick at the last minute. But after going, I'm definitely going to try to bring both of them again this year. So yes, I guess that would be a ringing endorsement for me since I plan on bringing the Bip Tots. I would definitely say bring your kids, yo.
Okay, so what about the event really makes it kid friendly or a place that you would want to bring your girls?
Well, again, because it was a very the setting and the Well, I mean, it really is the people, honestly, is what I would feel what I about the event. It's that all the people were really chill, and there were other kids around who most of them seemed very self-sufficient, especially Jamin and Karen's kids. They're a hoot.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they, you know, they're off. They're able to go off and do their own thing, and but you can keep a eye and or ear on them, and you know, there's not too much trouble they can get into, but there's stuff they can explore. And you know, like they were actually, some of the things they were most bummed out about was the right before I left, Cameron and I, like you were talking about the walk down to the you know, the last time at the lake, or the down at the beach. I went down there for the first time, I think, right before we left, and just because we went hiking through the woods, Murder Dog and I just decided to take a hike at the very end, right before we were leaving to say goodbye to everybody, and we wandered through the woods for like a good hour by ourselves. And when I told the girls about that, they were the most upset that they missed that and sleeping in the tent with Cameron.
Okay. Do you know if there were any kid activities that were organized this past year? I really wasn't.
I honestly didn't pay attention. I don't know.
Okay.
And because I didn't have to worry about it, I was worried about it when I thought I had to, but because I found out, like, you know, earlier that day before I left that she wasn't coming, I was like, okay, I don't have to worry as much about this now.
Yeah. Because the hippies, Jason and Mary, usually have like tons of art supplies with them to keep kids occupied, and Katie's pretty good about grabbing up a bunch of kids and playing games and stuff like that. So I don't know if they had anything that was really organized. I was supposed to do the Free Rangers improvised fire starting class, but it rained cats and dogs like you wouldn't believe.
Well, Lou,
you guys would believe it because you were there.
The weather is not always perfect, Lou. You know, you have to improvise. Come on.
But even with the weather raining, even with, there was, you know, a couple mornings where we did get rain, and I want to say, even with the rain, it's still a blast. And
it was just that one morning, you know, and it was
just the one morning. Ahead, but still, even then.
Oh no, I still had fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, we got like pavilions and tents. You know, the spontaneous order tent where, you know, you can stay dry if you don't like getting wet. Weather is prepared for. I just want to make sure people are aware of that.
Yeah.
And I personally liked having my camper there, and so I could get up and just walk down the hallway to my bathroom. And not
yeah, leave. I was rather jealous of that.
Yeah, and then I had the little canopy outside, the awning that's what it's called. My yes. God, I can't even use my brain tonight. I can't brain. I have
it's all right. I obviously have the same problem. So we're a good team.
And then I wound up. Cooking breakfast.
Save us.
Yeah. Then I wound up cooking.
I've enjoyed this too much.
I wound up cooking breakfast in the assault kitchen underneath my little 10x10 easy up. So that was pretty neat. That was a good way to stay dry.
Yeah. Well, I stayed
dry. You had the setup. I need to get one of those campers.
Oh, it's a blast. I tell you what, I probably got it out at least half of the weekends of the summer. There were a couple times where I went tent camping because I had a boat with me, and it was far enough away that I'm not taking both. So, So anyway, but yeah, it's really a hoot. Matter of fact, I had it out the first weekend of deer hunting season, so November 19th and 20th, and I went out to this little township park a couple hours away from me. Because the campground there is still open until they keep it open until there's too much snow and they don't plow it. So once you can't get in there, they're done with it, basically. So
well, that all depends on how good your tires are then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, they had the electricity running. I don't know if they leave the boxes going all year round or what. But yeah, I went in there and I was just running mostly off of a little plug-in electric space heater. I had the space heater set on like two or three, and it would turn on for a little while, turn off, and it stayed fairly comfortable. And then I think on the last day, I turned it up to about halfway, which meant that the heater kept going for the most part and rarely stopped, but it had that thing toasty in there. But the big thing is, it got down into the 20s that weekend, and there was a bunch of snow. So the camper held its own in the bad weather, and it has a furnace in there, which I could use too, but that gobbles up the propane pretty heavily. So if I can get by with just using the campground's electricity and not gobble up all my propane, I'm all over that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, go ahead.
But I like the little pop-up campers that they have. I mean, there's a lot of them that are pretty fancy. Most of them don't have showers and toilets in there. I mean, there's some that'll have like a little toilet. And if you got the family thing, privacy goes right out the window. But the camper the next size down from mine was pretty nice, and I seriously contemplated getting it, but I want the little bit more kitchen that I have versus what I did have or would have had in the smaller one. And the kitchen was bigger. Oh, and the futon. So I got that little love seat that folds out into a bed, which is good for like kids, you know, kid size. But
yeah, that would come in handy if you needed more bed area. So the smaller size than yours didn't come with that then.
Right.
Didn't come, yeah. Yeah, you definitely right. want that.
It just had the little dinette set that was like a that would convert into a twin bed.
Mm-hmm.
But strangely enough, it had a little bit. I like the storage space, the cupboard and closet space in the smaller one, and mine doesn't have a closet, which I was kind of bummed about.
Well, tents work too, though.
Yeah,
yeah. You just bring all your own stuff and a shovel to dig a latrine.
Yeah, but then you still got to go outside and get all soaked. Yeah. Where I could just walk a couple steps.
Well, what if they had a tent, and then you had a pop up floor that you could dig a latrine right in? Boom, problem solved. Now you don't have to leave the tent.
Don't poop where you sleep. Anyway,
I think that's solid advice.
Yeah. We'll be back. We might not discuss that any further.
It's probably a good idea.
We'll just bury that subject.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Talk about out of context.
Yes. That's why I stopped myself.
And we are back. So in case anybody was is wondering, during the break we were talking about farming, and Jeremy's thinking that he may start raising bison. I told him to try raising yak. He says, well, I don't want to completely take a bite out of Nick.
Yeah, I don't want to bite off his style completely. No. Well, no, I talked about it with Nick. He's actually the one who got me interested in the idea of reindeer in the first place. And that's what I was really focused on doing for a while. And there seems to be more opportunities for me to do something in a more warmer climate, which makes having reindeer a lot more difficult. And Nick's got the yak thing going. I don't personally know anybody who does bison.
Violate Nick's IP.
Oh, it's not that. I mean, I'm sure I could get a lot more advice that way, but yeah, I'd rather, because I love bison, because that's how we started this conversation, because we started with grass-fed beef, and then you're talking about the bison they have at the place near you. And
yeah.
Bison's delicious, though. Yeah, I would.
The Walmart store actually sells bison up here, but also...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
There's a couple of bison ranches in the area, and there's like a snowmobile repair, outdoors ATV type repair and sales place. So I call it the ATV and bison repair shop, because they'll sell ground bison there.
Oh, wow. So
I think they have some like freezers below like the motor oil or something like that. So you go grab a quart of motor oil and a quart of bison and a quart of oil.
Sounds like a good shopping trip.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually haven't shopped there, but like I said, the local Walmart has it, and they've got the ground bison beef, New York strips, ribeyes, sirloin steaks, and like a chuck roast. So I think I've had everything except for the chuck roast.
Yeah, see, I need to try all those. That's what we were talking about before we came back from the break. I need to try all those in those forms, because I've only had ground bison, which is delicious.
Bison burgers.
Yeah, I make my own. Like I get they sell ground bison at the local box store, the BJ's over here by me, and I pick that up regularly. And my kids actually like it too. Whether I make it in burgers or I use it for taco meat, because you know my kids like, we do Taco Tuesdays, so we make our own tacos, and we rotate between like bison meat and grass fed beef, and they also like turkey every once in a while too. So. Yeah, man, that's delicious, but I definitely want to try those steaks and stuff. I haven't had those yet.
Yeah, bison steak does sound really, really tasty.
Yeah, it's like the grass-fed beef in the regard that it's a bit leaner, and it has a different flavor to it, because the grain-fed cattle, they have kind of a plainer taste to it.
Yeah, it's much bland.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a bite. It's a gamier taste when it's grass fed. It's the same thing with getting deer up here in the UP versus going out to like Jackson or out in Livingston County where you got farms everywhere.
Yeah, get the corn fed deer.
Yeah,
yeah. We're up here, the meat has a lot more flavor to it because they're eating tree bark and rabbit poo.
Yeah, the stuff they're supposed to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the deer down here are a little fatter, though.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
but that's not always good. I was gonna say it's not always a good thing. But yeah, no, I think all that type of meat. I've heard elk's really good too. I want to try that too, but I don't think I'm gonna raise elk. I think I can raise bison. I've heard they're also supposedly like. I've heard them described by multiple people who have dealt with them, like giant puppy dogs, almost. You know, they can be kind of like chill, just very...
I don't know if that would be such a good thing to raise for food, then, if it's like a giant puppy dog. I don't know. If it's all buddy-buddy with it, I think I'd have a hard time.
Well, no, just because they're docile. That's fine with me.
In the middle of the mitten of Michigan, there's a lot of elk herds there, and I think people raise them, but that'd probably be a good thing to raise.
Oh, elk too? Yeah, I've heard that from multiple people who've tried everything, or that like that's the most delicious. They all swear by elk. So gotta get that too. Yeah. I like trying all that stuff.
We'll be back with more Freedom Feed in the second hour.
Animals are yummy, man.
Delicious.
PETA, people sorry. Eat tasty animals.
Sorry, not sorry, vegans.
Not sorry, really not sorry.
Yeah, really not sorry. Delicious.
Yeah. Answer what food eats.
Alligator.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And I am Lou, and I am joined by Big James and Jeremy, a.k.a. Murder Dog. Welcome back. Woof, woof. So anyway, yeah, welcome back to Freedom Fiends. We spent the first hour talking about the upcoming Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It turns out it's the fifth one.
Yes.
We had a little trouble figuring that out. And it starts on Thursday, June 22nd, and goes through Monday, June 26th. So if you don't have anything else going on over that very long weekend, since there's no Liberty Festivals, no real Liberty Festivals to go to, come on down to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's a grand old time.
It's a blast. You'll have fun.
The big thing that I liked about it is it was my first the first real Liberty event that I went to. I'd gone to a couple meetups before, but this was probably the first real event that I'd ever gone to, and this was the first one that was out in Brighton, which was in the Metro Detroit area. It's maybe about an hour west of Detroit, roughly. It's about an hour north and west. And the energy that I felt at that was just so off the freaking charts. Because actually getting a chance to meet some new people I'd never met before. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and his wife had come up. So I got a chance to meet them in real life for the first time and just sit around shooting the bull with them and just all the other people that are part of the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition that live in the outer areas that don't get to the meetups. And then it was pretty nice because there were people that came from New Hampshire. Brian Sovereign and Stephanie Murphy came out. There were folks from Kentucky. So
people traveled. I mean, it's not just even though Midwest, a lot of people come from outside of the Midwest.
Yeah, New York State, New Hampshire, mm-hmm. Georgia, Florida, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. We get a lot of people coming traveling.
Yeah, this year there'll be a kid coming out riding on Yak Back from Oregon. So, fifth annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. Be there or be square. So anyway, what else is going on in the world today? I came across this article I've been wanting to talk about for a little while. This came out Thursday, December 8th, and it's in the Washington Times. Megyn Kelly says it's dangerous that Americans aren't listening to the press.
Oh, no. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. No. What are we ever going to do?
Yeah. Fox News' Megyn Kelly thinks America is in a dangerous place right now due to the public's heightened distrust of the mainstream media. NPR sat down with Ms. Kelly on Wednesday for a wide-ranging interview on everything from charges of sexual harassment against former Fox News chairman Roger Ailes to the challenges reporters will face covering a Trump administration over the next 4 years. There's no challenges. If they put out the information that he wants put out, he'll continue to give them access. It's no different than any other administration. The Kelly file star said at one point during the 45-minute interview that she was worried about the divide between the American public and media outlets providing them with news. Let's talk about this whole bit of nonsense for a minute.
Well, it's real fake news, right? You got to come down and get your real fake news.
Yeah. So when you hear this, outside of Orwellian doublespeak, what does this mean to you guys?
No, they don't want us to listen to anyone but them.
Yeah.
They're obviously upset because they're losing viewers, and so they're probably losing advertising revenue, and they're the ones that put out a lot of the controlled information.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They're losing relevance is probably the broadest category to cover it, and the relevance is literally power for them.
Yeah, they don't have it really anymore. In the age of the internet and Facebook, when people can just put their news out there like that. And a lot of people get their news like that. A lot of people aren't sitting down and watching Fox News anymore if they're, you know, under 80. So,
hey, my dad's 76 and he watches Fox News, but that's
well, there aren't many.
I was gonna say my pops was watching it in his 60s before I got him closer and closer to our side of things.
Well, that's the youth demographics for Fox News. Continue.
The 55 to 65 crowd. That's like the teenagers of the Fox viewing crowd. Yeah.
Or as John McCain calls them, the youth vote.
Yeah, they really have a very old. I mean, it's still, you know. People need a little bit of entertainment with their news, too, and I think that's where they kind of miss a lot, is they don't really have that. Like, you see a lot of, like, Comedy Central, a lot of people can get, you know, get news from Comedy Central with,
John Stewart.
The
British
guy. The new one. Steve, I can't remember the new guy's name.
John something or other.
Yeah.
Oliver. John Oliver.
Yeah. No, there's another one. I don't know. But he, you know, a lot of people are getting their news from that.
Stephen Colbert was on there too.
Yeah. A lot of people are getting their news from sources like that in the younger demographic. So, well, the traditional 24-hour news network may not be the way of the future, you know, because people are able to get 24-hour news online.
Yeah.
So they're fighting for relevancy here.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a big fan of John Stewart or John Oliver's. I think that they have a horrible leftist bias to it, and they're very pro-state, and even when they're talking about problems that are inherent with government, their solution is always more of the problem of government to solve the problem of government.
At least it's more entertaining to watch them talk about the solutions to problems with government is more government than Bill O'Reilly talking about the problems with government is more government.
Yeah. I think that when like a John Stewart or John Oliver talks about how he wants to impose his will upon everybody versus Bill O'Reilly, I think Stewart and Oliver would send a SWAT team with like maybe a couple clowns and a mime in there to keep you happy as they're beating the hell out of you.
At least they'll be funny about it.
Yeah. Whereas Bill O'Reilly's going to send out the goons with the pepper spray and the tasers, and they're going to hook the jumper cables up to your junk.
With no clowns. There'll be no clowns involved.
Yeah. No clowns, no mimes. You just take that torture straight. So, but, I guess a good way to describe Oliver and Stewart and Colbert and even Bill Maher for that matter is they add something to the news that a Bill O'Reilly or Megyn Kelly doesn't provide, meaning a pulse.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely bring a little bit of fun to the news, whereas, you know, and that's what a lot of people want. And a lot of people aren't sitting there watching the news all the time, all day long, like Fox News wants you to do. Like, you know, these 24-hour news networks are geared to, you know, have you sit there and just watch it. You know, people want their news quick. They want to get on to the next thing.
I started when I was a news junkie. I'd have MSNBC on in the background, and that was before they went full commie. That's back when Tim Russert was still alive. I think he did a lot because he was like the managing editor for MSNBC or for NBC News, and I think he really did a lot to keep things a little bit more balanced. But after he passed away, that's really when things just started going downhill at that network, I think.
Well, you know, things are going downhill for Fox News if they have to spend, you know, millions of dollars trying to convince you that they're fair and balanced.
Yeah. Yeah, and I switched over to Fox, and I never really had anybody on Fox News that I said, oh, yeah, this is a person that I want to, if something bad happens, I want that person to come out and tell me about it.
Yeah.
So I never felt that type of an attachment. If we look at our parents' generation, you know, they watched Walter Cronkite doing the evening news, and he was, you know, trustworthy. And that's the whole thing behind the news anchors is they're supposed to be trustworthy. When they give that information, you know, you're not supposed to say, well, are they spinning it for the regime? Are they just taking the press release and running with it? Or are they actually doing some investigation and finding out what's going on? And going into the paragraph here, she says, I think it's dangerous. The entire delegitimization that President-elect Donald Trump engaged in against all of the media. Well, it wasn't really just Trump. And quite frankly, if people like us who are not pro-Trump at all in any way have been talking about the media as a problem for a lot longer than Trump's been on the scene, that's really not it. But anyway, the people, as much as it's fun to hate us, they need us.
Uh-oh.
They need good, strong, skeptical journalists to be covering who it is. Right. That's why we go to the alternative media.
Right.
because these sock puppets are not being strong and skeptical.
No, they're not investigating anything anymore. They're reading off teleprompters from press releases.
So, yeah.
You know, These people are not actually like a Walter Cronkite, like you were saying, that actually are, you know, trying to have some investigating done here on what they're telling you. They're just, okay, that's the news. There we go. Now let me go out with my, you know, buddies, the politicians who sent me over the thing that they told me to read on air, and we're going to go have dinner together.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if emails from the White House press office didn't go straight to the teleprompter.
That would, I wouldn't be surprised about that at all. But
yeah, and to top it off, how many news editors and typists could they cut out if they did that?
Oh, you might be giving them ideas if they're not already doing that.
I have no fear that I'm giving them ideas. But anyway, so whether it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump, that's where the whole part about the skeptical journalists is. We're in a dangerous phase right now where too many millions of Americans aren't listening at all to what the press tells them. That concerns me.
Listen to what we tell you. You will believe what we tell you. Yeah.
They're seeking other information and thinking for themselves.
The horror. Telling that she used that word, tell.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Much as it's fun to hate us, they need us. They need good, strong, skeptical journalists to be covering whoever it is, whether it's Barack Obama or President Donald Trump. We're in a dangerous place right now where too many millions of Americans aren't listening at all to what the press tells them. That concerns me. And that's Megyn Kelly in her recent interview with NPR.
The horror.
I'm sure that her voice wasn't quite so deep, and her tone and inflection may have been slightly different, but that is the message that she's conveying.
Yeah, everybody run for your lives. The media is not being listened to.
She's upset with that people aren't listening to what the media tells them, and she's concerned. So she's being a concern troll.
Well, the thing about this is, and most people do not react well to criticism. But what this really gets down to is this is a market response to the low quality product that the media is putting out there.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the big things, Tom Woods' catchphrase is the 3x5 card of allowable opinion. And whenever you watch any of these network news things, whether it's CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, or whatever, you only have the 3x5 card of allowable opinion. You don't have really anything outside of the conventional stuff. So as an example, if the economy starts to tank, they start talking about stimulus, and the allowable opinion is, should it be a $100 billion stimulus or $200 billion stimulus? You can't talk about cutting spending and reducing taxes, eliminating regulations and government agencies and government entirely. You know, you can't talk about that stuff. I mean, you could kind of mention it in like the late night comedy segment, but you can't actually provide actual solutions. It's $100 billion or $200 billion.
You're missing the fact that, according to Fox News, you know, if you say you're going to spend $10 and then only spend $9, you've saved everyone $1. That's Fox News logic. That's media logic. It's government logic. We're going to project we're going to spend this much, and then we're only going to spend this much, and that means we cut this much. No.
And that's how you get budget surpluses.
Yeah. Oh, look, we created a surplus.
No, you didn't.
We printed more than we spent.
Yay!
you keep using these words. I don't think they mean what you think they mean.
Yeah, like when we say we. So, let's take police brutality as a prime example. It really doesn't matter what you're talking about. Police brutality is one of the prime ones, though. If there's like a citizens board of review or something like that, or you'll hear this when there's a trial, somebody will say, well, I don't know what the answer is, but I think we need more regulation. And this comes from the idea that you can find the right set of words and put them in the right order and scribble them down on a piece of paper, and it's going to cause people to quit doing bad things or cause people to quit doing things that you don't want them to do. Prohibition is a perfect example. The puritanical control freaks figured that if they say you can't drink alcohol, everybody would be obedient little slaves and it would stop drinking. And much to their surprise, they found that alcohol consumption actually went up. And so not only did they not solve the problem of people drinking, but all of the problems that they wanted to reduce, such as the health effects, you know, bad liver, alcohol poisoning, things like that. All that stuff had a tendency to go up because now you can no longer get beer as easily as before, and people were drinking whiskey and moonshine and crap that was made in a bathtub. Which brings me to this: if you want to ban Muslims, you know, Mr. Trump, you're going to find that prohibition will have people making Muslims in their bathtubs because that's how it works. But
well, I wouldn't say anything wrong with some homemade booze. Let's not go down that route.
Okay, there were people that were not very good at it.
Well, there's actually some evidence that the government had a hand in people not being very good at it.
Well, some of it, yeah. The government flat out poisoned some people.
Exactly.
So I guess maybe that's a year that they weren't measuring deaths by alcohol consumption. But the thing is, the answer is always, well, we need more regulation. We need more rules. Because people aren't obeying the rules that exist right now. We need more rules. And that's always the answer. That's what's on the 3x5 card. Nobody says, you know what, maybe the rules are the problem. We'll be back.
Make you obey harder, man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Freedom Fiends. So, a little bit lighter here. This next article comes to us from Heat Street. Marx's vegan restaurant closes after customers no longer willing to wait 40 minutes for a sandwich. A Marx's collectivist worker-run restaurant in Grand Rapids, Michigan closes doors this week after customers complained that they could no longer tolerate the bizarre hours, high prices, and long lines. The Garden Diner and Cafe, previously known as the Bartertown Diner, featured a vegan, vegetarian, and raw food menu that had met with significant national acclaim. But the restaurant's business model, which did not allow for bosses or managers, promised a living wage to all employees and a strong union, did not allow the restaurant to make enough profit to stay in business. Go figure. Worse still, while the food earned Bartertown a spot on Vig News or Veg News' 10 hot new vegan restaurants list, customers complained that it was almost impossible to get a meal at the diner. People frequently noted on the restaurant's Facebook page that they had waited more than 40 minutes for a sandwich, and that's when the diner was even open. Because the employees set the shop's hours by group decision, the restaurant opened and closed at random times, leaving potential sandwich buyers totally confused. What in the heck?
It should have been, probably would have been better off as a food truck.
Yeah, right.
Probably.
Vegan Marxism, not even once.
I remember seeing this video clip. Go ahead, James.
I can understand why it would take so long, though, for a raw food menu. Raw food actually does take a long time to prepare.
Well, yeah, but
it's weird how long raw food takes to prepare an actual, like, a raw food dish takes to actually prepare compared to cooked food. It's a lot of times quicker to actually cook food than prepare it for raw consumption. It's because, you know, it's not just, it doesn't sound like they're just throwing, you know, some veggies in a plate and tossing it a few times and boom, here you go. You know, if they're getting top 10 hottest vegan restaurant list or whatever, they probably had some, like, pretty complicated dishes. And so,
yeah, let's talk about a sandwich.
So what are they doing now? What are they doing to prepare the raw foods?
Well, I don't know about this place. I don't know about this place. My mom actually is a raw food vegetarian, and she has ate nothing but raw food for the past, like 7 or 8 years now. I think she hasn't touched cooked food. So I saw the complicated steps that she goes through to prepare her food. And, like, some dishes takes her days to finish preparing. You know, like, it's, you know, a lot of the dishes are not boom here you go. You know, she teaches a raw food preparation class. I can't really say cooking. A raw food preparation class. It's not really a cooking class, but she teaches like three dishes and it takes her all day for these three dishes, you know, these classes.
What are some of these steps? Because I know absolutely nothing about raw food preparation like you're talking about. Something I've never had any experience with.
Yeah, a lot of, like, dehydrating the stuff. That's a big part of it, is, like, dehydrating stuff to use in your ingredients. So you're going to have, instead of ovens, you'll have dehydrators and stuff like that to prepare the stuff. And then, you know, you're going to—it's just really weird. A lot of the—like, it almost looks like cooking, but not quite. And, you know, you might as well just cook. And you might as well just eat meat, too. But— the whole not eating meat thing is I don't understand that. Meat's delicious, and it's much easier to consume meat.
This is true.
You have to consume much less to get, you know, the calorie density that you do with vegetables and stuff.
Well, here's the thing, though.
And sprouting nuts, that's another thing. You know, sprouting takes forever to sprout something. Of course, I don't think they're sprouting to order, but because you'd have to wait a couple of days to get your sandwich.
here's the thing, and this is why I'm kind of not buying the prep time. I don't know what your experience is in working in restaurants. I've worked in a few different restaurants, and one of the things that they do is they have the stuff prepared well in advance so that you don't go through all these complicated steps.
Well, you forget that this is a Marxist collectivist worker-owned restaurant in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is another reason why it failed, because it's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and not a place like Ann Arbor. You know, something like this probably would have done very well at Ann Arbor, not in Grand Rapids, where even the Democrats are Republicans, okay?
Foodies are foodies, though. But the thing is, like, if you're working in a restaurant like a Denny's or a Big Boy or something like that, they have a lot of this stuff prepared so that, as example, the pasta noodles for spaghetti dishes are already cooked. They're just stored in like individual serving sandwich bags with a little bit of water in them, and then you either reheat it by putting it in the microwave or throwing it into a China cap strainer and putting in boiling water and reheating it that way. But when an order for spaghetti comes in, somebody doesn't go snapping noodles, throw them in a pot and wait for the water to boil and then serve the spaghetti like that. It's done in advance. So it seems like if you have in particular, the long, grueling process of preparing all the stuff, the dehydrations. You know, maybe before they leave at night, they put the stuff in the dehydrator and they're able to pull it out the next morning. Maybe they put fresh stuff in the dehydrators after that. So, I mean, really, I'm not really buying that part as being a complication. I think it's basically a bunch of Feinsteiners that are screwing around.
Well, you know, I've gone to just regular restaurants that are cooked to order. That, you know, I've waited around 40 minutes for sandwiches before and gone back multiple times because they're really good sandwiches. So, you know, it's not like 40 minutes is really that long in the grand scheme of things. The problem with this probably is more to do with the hours. Because, I mean, you can't run a business with inconsistent hours. You can't have something where you show up and they're not there. Because people are just going to leave and they're not going to come back. Like, even if a restaurant has a posted time of, say, 7 a.m. and you show up at 7:02 to go get your breakfast and the doors are locked, you're going to turn around and go somewhere else. Yep. And you're probably not going to go back there because that's, you know, you look like a fool going up to a closed door that was supposed to be open a little bit. You know? No one wants to be banging on the door. Hey, what's going on? Why aren't you open yet? You're going to go somewhere else.
It's like having a coffee stand. You know, James, I'm sure you know the coffee pot on M36 out in Pinckney? Or maybe in Hamburg.
I know what you're talking about.
So it's a little drive-through coffee stand. Mm-hmm. So if you stop there to get your coffee on the way to work in the morning, because you don't want to make it at home, whatever, and and if they're not even open when you're going through there when they're supposed to be open, you're not going back. That reading this article kind of reminds me of back during the whole Occupy Wall Street thing. I saw an interview with this guy in, I think, Milwaukee. He worked for a place called Noodles & Company or something like that. And the interviewer was talking to him, and this kid was just absolutely clueless. It's like, my God, how has nobody held his head underwater in a bucket yet? Because he's saying, you know, I mean, the bosses, they treat us like crap. I mean, they tell us what kind of food we're going to cook. They tell us what time we have to come to work and when we're going to be open. And it just really reminded me of this. It's like this kid is like absolutely clueless as to what it is to serve customers.
Yeah, the service is not about what you want to do. It's about what the customer wants.
Yeah.
And so you can't be in the service industry and do that kind of stuff. I think this is the funniest thing from the article is they offered free meals to Grand Rapids police officers. That's kind of...
That is a real shock because, what was it, the Red and Black Cafe out in, I want to say, Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, they refuse police service, period.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, they won't even serve uniformed cops. As a matter of fact, there's somebody, some junkie ODing on heroin in their bathroom, and they called 911 and they said, look, could you send a ambulance out here with the kit? Oh, and no cops.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the police showed up and he wouldn't let him in the door, too.
Yeah, so obviously when you say don't send the cops, what do? They send the cops.
Yeah.
So 911 dispatchers are anarchists. They're like, don't tell me what to do.
I think that's the exact opposite of being an anarchist is sending the cops to people.
No, you say don't send the cops. And they're like, oh, okay, I'm going to send the cops.
Or I would call that an anarchist, though, because even if I'm told not to send the cops, I'm not going to send the, there's no way I'm sending cops. Even if I'm told not to.
Don't tell me what to do. Yeah.
That's just being the contrarian. That's not being an anarchist.
I was going to say, another A word comes to mind, but I can't say it on the radio.
So apparently the local socialist community abandoned them, which could also be another reason why they failed, is because their whole target demographic was like, no, we're not going to let you side with fascists and, quote, supporting all white police force in this area of police violence. Now, what does them being an all-white police force have to do with anything? What does it matter the color of the skin of the person who's doing violence to you?
Well, they want diversity in violence.
They want diversity
in looting. They
it's
want...
It's only fair that the minorities get a chance to beat people up and steal stuff too, James.
Yeah. Come on, James. Let's be honest. It's not fair unless the demographics of the victims and the oppressors match each other.
Oh, come on. These people are just crazy. If they would have just not put the all white, that would have actually been a respectable response to them doing that. But they had to throw all white in there and just ruin it. Oh, it would be cool if it wasn't an all white police force.
Look at the white. It's always ruining stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
come on. Come on.
Social justice warriors, not even once. We'll be back.
Marvelous.
Go grab a sandwich. See you in 40 minutes.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiend phone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, and now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
We'll be right back.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about this Heat Street article in the commie restaurant that went out of business. This is hilarious, and James, you got a real kick out of this. But anyway, so in a no-win situation and discovering firsthand the troubles that had plagued communism for more than a century, the restaurant was forced to close its doors. As one community member put it, they discovered that you can't make payroll and pay your bills with Facebook and Tumblr likes.
Tumblr likes, of course.
Yeah. The owner, for his part, is admitting his mistake. When asked what his next venture would be, he told MLive.com that he was taking a vacation. How bourgeois.
So, I love that part. The owner. So
the owner of this worker-owned co-op is admitting his mistake.
It's not really a worker-owned place now, is it, buddy?
I don't know. Now, if it said the owners.
Yeah, you know, but it's the owner.
Yeah. The worker owners. So you and I have talked a little bit about a place that's a worker-owned co-op and kind of follows this model but is successful. It's a video game company. What's the story on them?
Well, you got Valve Corp, which is one of the biggest, you know, video game companies there are. I mean, especially when it comes to not just making video games, but they have a whole, you know, video game digital distribution setup and everything, and they're run in a successful similar way where, you know, they don't have the bosses. You know, their workers are able to work on what they want when they want. The same as, you know, this Marxist vegan restaurant. However, it works. And, you know, I'm thinking it might have something to do with what they're doing, you know, because, I mean, a lot of people that are in the video game industry want to be in the video game industry. They, you know, have, I'm sure there's people that want to, you know, prepare food and stuff like that. I'm not saying that that's like, but it's something that people are like a passion about. There's a lot of people that are really passionate about video games, and people make their own video games in their spare time and stuff like that. So I'm thinking that might have something to do with the success of it. But they're able to make it work without, you know, without bosses telling you what to work on, when to work on it. And they're able to make it work and be a huge success.
Well, and the thing is, they have to put out a good product. So it doesn't matter if it's the restaurant or the video game place. They have to put out a good product that people are actually willing to trade their Federal Reserve notes for, or their Bitcoin, or their Bipcoin, or I don't know, duck feathers, whatever they're using for currency. So they have to put out something that works and that people actually want.
Well, I'm thinking that has something to do with it, too, because Valve does put out really great games. Like, not just their distribution engine, which is Steam, but their games themselves are absolutely just phenomenal games that they've put out there. But they do take forever to put games out. We're still waiting on Half-Life 3. We'll probably never see it. But well, when they put out games, they're phenomenal, and you're willing to wait.
I guess my big question is, what do they do in between stealing the underpants and getting the giant profits?
Oh, question mark, question mark, question mark, of course.
Yeah, okay. So I obviously they have to be doing something right to be profitable and be successful. Because I don't think that you can just have a bunch of people show up and start throwing crap against the wall and have something turn out successful. I really don't see that being that likely. I could be wrong, but
no, you got to be able to put out a product, and you got to be able to put out a quality product. And the question is, what is the most efficient structure to deliver that product? And probably in something like video games, you know, a worker-run, no bosses organization could work, but something like a restaurant, definitely not. Definitely no way.
Well, I know about
kitchens have a hierarchy with the cook and all that kind of stuff. It's like kind of part of the process.
Yeah, I know about restaurants, but not video games so much. But anyway, thanks for coming on tonight, guys. It's a pleasure, and thanks to everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.